Okay, good morning. We're back to Yeshaya, Perek Yudalid. To sum up where we left with, the beginning of Yeshaya mentioned a number of different prophecies, nevuahs, that apply to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish nation as a whole. The last Perek, in Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter, it said, Masa Bovel. Yeshaya began to say a prophecy, and there are going to be other prophecies about the other nations of the world. And he began with Masa Bovel, a nevuah that pertains to the Babylonian Empire, Bovel that had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, that had exiled us. And the nevuah discussed how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's already prepared the punishment for Bovel. The Persian Empire, Paras and Modai, would join together and they would attack Bovel and they would be victorious. Initially they suffered defeat and Bovel was celebrating and partying, but then during the party there was they regrouped and Persia once again attacked together with Modai, with Media, and those two nations defeated Bovel. And then afterwards, the land of Bovel itself was overturned and was destroyed and became a wasteland. As it said in Pasuk Yud Tes, in the previous Perek. V'hoysa Bovel tzvim amlochos. Bovel, that at one point had been the choicest of all the kingdoms. Tiferes, the splendor, gaon costume of the pride of the Kastim, that was the nation that lived in Bovel. Also, this beautiful country would become Kamapechas Elohim, like Hashem who had overturned Estom Vesamora, it would become a desolate area like the area of Stom and Amora. It's that way nowadays also. The Dead Sea area is wasteland, is desert. But that's the way Bovel would be. And the Navi continues how there would be wild animals and birds, and it would just be a no man's land and a wilderness. Looking at Perek Yud Daled, first I just want to quickly go through the first 3-4 psukim, and then we'll analyze them. Ki Yirachim Hashem es Yaakov. And then Hashem will show mercy to Yaakov. Ubocharo be Yisrael, and he'll once again choose Yisrael. Yaakov and Yisrael refers to the Jewish people. V'hinicham al admosam, and will be placed again on our land. V'nilva hager aleihem, there will be gerim proselytes that will join. V'nisvachu al beis Yaakov, and they'll become attached to beis Yaakov. Ulekachum amim, the nations will take them, ve'hevim el makomam, and they'll bring Klal Yisrael back to their place, ve'hisnachalum beis Yisrael. And then the house of Yisrael will take over as a nachla, will possess them as an inheritance that's passed on from generation to generation, al admas Hashem, when they're on the land of Hashem. They'll take these nations that brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and they'll take them lavodim v'lishvachos for slaves and maidservants. V'hoyu shovim l'shoveihem. They will be the captors over those that were formerly their captors. V'rodu, the Jewish people will now rule b'nogseihem over those who previously oppressed the Jewish nation. V'hoyu b'yom haniach Hashem l'cha. And it'll be on the day that Hashem grants you a relief. Me'otzbacha, umirogzecha, from your distress and your anxiety, umin avoda hakosha shirubad bach, and from the hard work that you've been working at. When that day comes and you finally have a breather and you have a break, v'nasosa moshel hazel melech bovel, you'll say over the following parable about the king of Bovel, V'omarta, and you'll say what it discusses in the next few psukim. Eich shovas noges, shov samad heva. How is it that the oppressor has finally come to an end, and the arrogance has ended? The question is exactly where, what is this nevuah referring to? It would seem to be where you were previously talking about the downfall of Babel, the Babylonian Empire. And in fact, in Pasuk Gimel it says, as we just read, on the day that Hashem gives you a relief, you'll raise up this parable on Pasuk Dalet, V'nasasa Moshe Azel Melech Babel. You'll be talking this parable about the king of Babel. So it seems to be you have two or three psukim sandwiched in between talking about the demise of Babel and how you're going to say a parable about the king of Babel. And I would assume that these psukim are, as soon as we're released from Babel, as soon as we come up to build the second Beis HaMikdash. The problem that the Mefarshim struggle with is these nevuahs don't seem to have happened. When they came up to build the second Beis HaMikdash, it was with great difficulty. The nations of the land resisted and resented the fact that the Jewish people were going to come and they were once again going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And they did everything possible to stop the work. It discusses it in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah. They were, as they were building the Beis HaMikdash, they were holding a weapon in one hand and the tools of wall building in the other hand. Part of the people were doing guard duty. They were building under attack. It wasn't certainly an outpouring of love and reverence for the Jewish people that the nations came and they brought us up to Eretz Yisrael and they were all being Magayar, there was converts. It doesn't seem to have happened. There are a number of approaches. One explanation the Mefarshim say is it didn't happen immediately. But Ki Rachim Hashem es Yaakov, when Hashem will have mercy on Yaakov and will be brought up from Babel, will begin the era of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the second Beis HaMikdash lasted for 420 years. About halfway through the second Beis HaMikdash, we have the story of Hanukkah and the Chashmonaim, who were victorious against the mighty Greek Empire. And one of the kings who arose up after that time, his name was Hyrcanus. And this king, who was a descendant from the Chashmonaim, made treaties and he had a lot of the Goyim convert. He had them do bris milah, circumcision. So there was a point in history when we were no longer under the control of Babel. It was during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and there were converts. Because this Chashmonai king had a lot of people converted and joined the Jewish people. And as we look through the Psukim slowly, we'll follow it with that approach. That's one approach. Another approach is, this Pasuk is talking about the Geula in the future. We know Yaakov is a term that refers to Klal Yisrael at their low point, in exile. Yaakov was given his name, V'yodo Chezas Ba'akev Esav. Esav comes out first from Rivka Yimeinu, and Yaakov is grabbing onto the heel. He's trying to be the first, and he's holding onto the heel. V'yakveni Zeh Pamayim, it's a term for like, he tricked, he used deceit. It's when Klal Yisrael is at their low point, and they're on the defensive, and they're the underdogs. Yaakov, Klal Yisrael on a low level is Yaakov. Yisrael is the term that refers Kisarisa Melohim V'manoshim V'atuchol. When Yaakov fought with the Malach of Esav, and he was victorious. They fought through the night, and Yaakov came up with an upper hand. And he had just left the house of, he had escaped from Esav, and he escaped from Lavan, and now he fought with this Malach. Yisrael means Klal Yisrael as the victorious at their high point. The Geula can come in two ways. It could be a certain point in history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu just has Rachmanis, and whether we deserve it or not, we're his people, and he'll bring the redemption. And then there can be the situation where Klal Yisrael does tshuva, and we improve. And looking at the world objectively, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's no question, if I had to do it again, I would choose the Jewish people. Ki rachim Hashem es Yaakov. When Hashem will show mercy to Yaakov, He'll show us mercy. We're there in exile. We're stuck in Bavel. And there'll be Rachmanis. And He'll take us out of Bavel. Uvachar od b'Yisrael. And there could be a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose Yisrael. That will be on such a high madrega, will be on a high level. It will be Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose us. He'll have His options open. He won't feel that He has to. But He'll make a choice of what He really wants, to Bocharo b'Yisrael. And the Navi is referring to both. He's referring, part of it, on one hand, we're talking about the Geula, the redemption from Bavel, which is actually not referred to as a Geula. We've mentioned this before. The second Beis HaMikdash was not as great as the first, and people realized it wasn't really the redemption. But it was Rachmanis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Merachem on Yaakov, and Golus Bavel comes to an end. But the Babylonian Empire was destroyed, and that was it. They were finished. Klal Yisrael is going to, Hashem will have Rachmanis, He'll remember us, but it's going to have its ups and downs. There's going to be another destruction. There's going to be a Churban Bayis Sheni. And what the Navi is reassuring us is, Ki Rachim Hashem es Yaakov, there'll be a point in history where we'll be brought up from Bavel. Hashem will have mercy on us. Ubocharo b'Yisrael. But right now I'm telling you that when Hashem has mercy, and if again the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash, and again there's exiles and there's sufferings, don't think we're finished like the Babylonian Empire. But Ubocharo b'Yisrael, Hashem will choose, Klal Yisrael will reach that final Geula where Klal Yisrael will show their true greatness, and there won't be the impediments to Avodas Hashem, and He'll choose us. So the Pasuk is talking about both. And the glorious Nevuas of the Ger joining us, the converts joining us, is referring to the final Geula. But for the Navi, who sees time in the future, as Yeshaya is living here, Yeshaya is living in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. This is before the empire of Bavel came to power. He had seen the Malchus Ashur, Sancheiriv, had taken away the 10 tribes. But it was right after that time when Bavel was poised to become the leader, were first beginning their greatness. But Yeshaya is looking already for the demise of Bavel, for the second Beis HaMikdash, for the final Geula, and it's all foreseen and foretold in these psukim. Hashem will have Rachmanis on Yaakov. We'll come up from Bavel. Ubocharo b'Yisrael. And then there'll be a final Geula. And then at that point, there'll be the Geirim will join us, and things will, Klais will be recognized, there'll be the leaders, and all those that were our captors will now receive their just punishment. Those that oppressed us will now be under our rule. And then immediately the Navi, who's looking in the future, but he's standing right now, says, and you'll be able to sing about the redemption from Bavel, and you'll say the following parable about Nebuchadnezzar. So he's referring to both. Certain things are referring to the redemption from Bavel, and other things for the final Geula. And a third explanation, the last one we're going to mention here, is the Malbim learns that the truth is, it's not two different time periods. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for Klal Yisrael. If we will be worthy, it will happen as soon as we come up from Bavel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to have a second Beis HaMikdash that will be destroyed. If Klal Yisrael is good, the coming up from Bavel, eventually that second Beis HaMikdash can get back the Nevuah and the Urim V'Tumim and everything that was in the Shekhinah. It can get back whatever the second Beis HaMikdash was lacking can be brought to us, and this could be the final Geula. And if we don't merit, it'll have to wait. It'll have to wait. So therefore, the Navi talks about it as if it's going to happen as soon as you come up from Bavel. And if you look at your history and you say, hey, it hasn't happened yet. Well, in that case, we just didn't merit an Emir Tashem with the third Beis HaMikdash. That's when the prophecy will come to fruition. So in Pasuk Aleph, Ki Rachim Hashem es Yaakov, when Hashem has mercy on Yaakov, Ubocharo bi Yisrael, and once again Hashem chooses Yisrael, V'hini chom al admosom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place them on their land. V'hini chom can mean like a hanocha. He'll place us in Eretz Yisrael. And it could also come from the word menucha. V'hini chom, that we'll have menucha, we'll have rest. Klal Yisrael will be able to relax and take it easy, let down the guard. V'hini chom, they'll have their menucha. Al admosom on their land. V'nilva hager aleihem. Then at that point, the ger, the proselyte, will join them. V'nisbachu, and they'll be attached, al beis Yaakov, to the house of Yaakov. On one hand, it seems that they're on the land, and this is a difficult point, but the next pasuk seems to say they're actually not in their place yet. B'elokachum amim, the nations will take them. V'heviyum el mekomam, and they'll bring them to their place. Perhaps they're on their land, but they're not in their own city. They're not in the place where their own shevet, where their tribe is supposed to be. They're dislocated, but they're in Eretz Yisrael. But they're not actually on their place. But then the nations will take them and bring them to their place. V'hisnachalum. At that point, Beis Yisrael, the Jewish, the house of the Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel, will possess them. V'yisnachalum beis Yisrael al admas Hashem, on the land of Hashem, la'avodim v'lishvachos. They'll be slaves and they'll be maid servants. If you look at the terms of the pasuk, the Gemara discusses that we only accept the ger, that the Klal Yisrael discourages converts. Because to be a Jew isn't easy. And the reward is immeasurable in this world and in the world to come. But the Gemara says in Ksuvus on Daf Yud Aleph, they use the expression Avda behefkeira nichale, a slave who's used to his life of hefkerus, that everything's free, there's no moral constraints, he likes it. The Gemara looks at it as a very rational approach. And the Gemara says if you take somebody who's not, doesn't have the moral ties that Klal Yisrael have, and you take a guy who's a slave, or somebody who's not Jewish, it was especially prevalent among the slaves. But by the non-Jews, the fact that anyone could marry, could take whoever they want, they don't have to be married, they can have more than one partner, they switch, they do whatever, it's a very loose lifestyle. He's not interested. If you try to tell him, you know, why don't you find the one person that you care for the most and make a commitment that you are going to stay and be faithful to each other, and together you'll build a family and you'll put all the effort that's involved in it and you'll dedicate your life, your blood, sweat, and tears, and your paycheck, everything, to raise this family. Very often, it doesn't necessarily mean that person would like it. The Gemara discusses what happens if there's what's called a ger katan. There's a minor who's not from a Jewish background, let's say some refugee, and there's some children there. Do we make them Jewish? And the Gemara discusses that. But once somebody's used to a certain lifestyle, it's very hard to become a Jew and accept the mitzvahs and the Torah, which we're better off having it. But if you're not used to it, it's very, very difficult. And a person can come in a moment of inspiration and say, you know, I want to be a Jew. And then when the going gets tough, he might not feel that way. And once you're a Jew, you're always a Jew. You and your descendants, and it carries on. Anyone with a Jewish mother, it goes on. So we discourage Geirin. The Gemara says at the times of Shlomo HaMelech, during King Solomon, when Klal Yisrael was at its pinnacle of greatness, they didn't accept Geirin. Because it was assumed that somebody might want to become a Ger because the Jewish people were doing better economically. There was prosperity, there was wealth, there was happiness, there was everything. Why not be a Jew? We didn't accept Geirin like that. The pusuk says, "V'nilva hager aleihem." The ger will join them. V'nispachu, and become attached al beis Yaakov, to the house of Yaakov. Like we mentioned, Yaakov is Klal Yisrael at its low point. If some non-Jew wants to join the Jewish people, they better grab the opportunity. Nowadays, when Klal Yisrael has it difficult, when we're beis Yaakov, then a ger can join. But ulkachum amim, once the nations bring us to our place, and now a non-Jew wants to join, it's too late. V'yisnachalum beis Yisrael will possess them, al admas Hashem, on the land of Hashem, lavodim v'lishfachos, as slaves and as maidservants. And some of Forshim learned that the non-Jews willingly will want to have that. They have a similar concept in Chumash. Rashi mentions it, that the wife of Avram Avinu was Sarah, and he also had Hagar. And Hagar was the princess, was the daughter of the king of Egypt. And she said, you know, if I can't marry Avram Avinu as a regular wife, let me at least be a Pilegesh, let me somehow join Avram Avinu's household. And those times, when Klal Yisrael, it's evident, and the whole world is aware of the fact, the greatness of Hashem and the greatness of Klal Yisrael, they'll want to join Klal Yisrael, but they won't be accepted as Geirim. They'll be possessed as La'avodim v'lishfachos. They'll be able to work as slaves and as maidservants. They'll have a connection with the Jewish people. They'll be the workers, but they won't be accepted as Geirim. For Hayu Shovim L'Shoveihem, Klal Yisrael at that point will be able to be the captors over those that previously were our captors. V'rodu v'nogseyem, and Klal Yisrael will rule over their oppressors. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin, which is interesting, on this subject of Geirin. I say it's something that nowadays, you know, recently since, I want to say recently, I mean the last 200 years, you know, since assimilation has taken place and there's been reform and there's been such large numbers of Jews who have defected, and people are worried what's going to be with the Jewish nation, and those who always try to bring in Geirin. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, on Daf Ayin Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Koshim Geirim Li Yisrael Kisapachas. Geirim, converts, are difficult to the Jewish nation, Kisapachas, like leprosy. Shenemar, because it says in our Pasuk, V'nilva Hager Aleihem, the Ger will join them, V'nispachu Al Beis Yaakov. That word Nispachu, besides the fact it's an unusual word that they'll attach themselves, that could be the whole phrase is extra. What's the extra phrase telling us they'll attach themselves? You just said the ger will join them. But v'nispachu, the Gemara says, that term is k'siv hocha v'nispachu u'k'siv hosam la'seis v'la'sapachas. When it discusses in the Torah about the different shades of white, the different colorings of leprosy, of tzaras, it says sapachas. There's seis, there's baheres, there's all the shades similar to it, and it's sapachas is one of the colors that are leprosy. V'nispachu al beis Yaakov, that the ger, the proselyte, is considered like leprosy, or is it something that is very detrimental to the Jewish people? The question is why. Rashi says, Koshim Geirin, She'enam Zihirim v'mitzvahs, because the Ger is not careful with mitzvahs. V'haragilim etzlam, and those that are accustomed to spending their time with the Geirin, Nimshochim etzlam, become drawn after their way of life, V'lom d'mimaseim, and they learn from their deeds. You know, it's almost if a person thinks about the way we spend our day and the way halacha really controls everything. From what you wear to why you eat to how you eat and how you get dressed and where you sit and what the house is like and where you live. And it really controls everything. And a ger, he accepts that he's going to follow the Torah, but there's just so much. Very often they're not zehirim b'mitzvahs. Now, it's one thing if you say we have to get rid of the chametz for Pesach, but to be careful with the whole severity of it, a lot of the mitzvahs are difficult. And as Tosfos adds, V'od shemalamdim es Yisrael mimad, they're not bekeim in mitzvahs, and therefore it brings a punishment. Klal Yisrael learns and they start acting like the Geirim. It's sort of the conduct of the nation goes down to the lowest common denominator, and they learn from the Geirim, and that brings punishment. That's one explanation. Tosfos has a number of explanations. Another explanation, Tosfos says, you know why they're so difficult? Which is something to keep in mind. Tosfos says, V'fi shehizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem. Many places in the Torah, there's different Girsos texts, either 24 places, 36 places, many times the Torah warns, V'ahavtem es hager. You have to love the ger. You have to love the ger. And it's something to keep in mind. Shalolahonos to some. You can't mistreat them. You can't say something to hurt their feelings. V'yefshashloyitzarum. But it's almost impossible that you shouldn't cause them pain. Somebody who's a ger and he doesn't know and a lot of things he's doing is wrong. And you don't necessarily, as we learned, it's a little bit risky and it can be harmful to become close to the ger because you start imitating your circle of friends. So on one hand, you want to be careful who you associate with. On the other hand, you have to know that there's a mitzvah to love a ger. There's a mitzvah, a special mitzvah, more than v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha. And it's mentioned in many times. You have to remember that you were gerim in Mitzrayim, and if we have to care for the ger. So it's a very difficult thing. When Klal Yisrael accepts the proselyte, a ger, we have to treat him with a special deference. And that's a difficult thing, and it's there's a great chance of error and not doing the proper thing. Tosfos has another pshat that I personally always enjoyed. How does a ger learn this Gemara? What does somebody do if he's a ger and he learns this Gemara and he sees gerim are so difficult, like sapachas, and we don't want them? How does a ger understand that Gemara? And here Tosfos says, there was one of the gerim who is obviously of a great enough level that he's one of the Bali Tosfos. He's mentioned in Tosfos. Tosfos says this in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Aleph. V'harav Avraham Ger Pirish. How did the Ger learn this Gemara? V'fisha Gerim Bekiim B'mitzvahs. He says the exact opposite. The Gerim are experts when it comes to mitzvahs. U'medaktikim B'hem. And they're exact. He probably looks at it that a lot of things we do just because there are many minhagim and there are many groups in Klal Yisrael and there are ways to explain difficult minhagim that seem to be wrong, but there's a special place for a minig and there's certain ways that people conduct themselves. A ger starts off with a clean slate and he comes in and he asks, what's the best way to do it? Whatever the issue is, what is the best way that the Torah would want? And he wants to do it. If he didn't want to be a ger, he wouldn't be a ger. So he comes with a sincerity and with a motivation, and he's going to take it in the best way possible. And he becomes a bekiyim b'mitzvahs, and they're medaktik, they're exact with their fulfillment, and therefore kosher him l'Yisrael k'sapachas. They become very difficult for the Jewish nation. D'mitoich kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazkir avonoseim shel Yisrael. Because from the example of the ger, it casts us in a bad light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, here you take a guy, he came from nowhere. He had no background at all. And look at the way he does the mitzvahs. And you had it easy. You grew up in a Jewish family with a Jewish background in a community. What's happening to the rest of Klal Yisrael? And therefore, it reminds of our sins, Kishein Osim Ritzonu, when we don't do Hashem's will. Interesting the way the ger explains this Gemara. And just one last thought, Tosfos says, the Re explains that the Shechina rests on Klal Yisrael, the Gemara says, only on those Mishpachos Miyuchosos. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses where his presence should reside on this world, he looks for a family with a perfect Yichus, where it's a pure background, a Jewish background. And those families are where the Shechina rests. And the fact that a ger comes from a non-Jewish background, the Shekhinah doesn't rest on that family. But there are many explanations running the gamut, spanning the spectrum of exactly where the Gerim are better than us or worse than us, but it's difficult for Klal Yisrael when there are Gerim. The Nisbuchu al Beis Yaakov. So Lekochum Amim, the nations will take them, will take the Jewish people, Ve'hevim el Makomam, and will be brought, they'll be brought to their place. Eretz Yisrael is our place. It's the place that's most fitting for the Jewish nation. Ve'hisnachalum Beis Yisrael, and then Beis Yisrael will possess them al Admas Hashem, on the land of Hashem. Eretz Yisrael has both qualities. It's the land that's Admas Hashem. It's the holy land. It's the land that's most conducive to Ruchnius. And in every other way, Eretz Yisrael is there considered Ve'vim el Makomum. It's their place. It's the place that's most fitting for Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael will take them avodim b'lishvachos for slaves and for maidservants. V'hayu shovim l'shoveihem. Klal Yisrael will be captors over those that previously enslaved them, v'raduvas b'noksehem, and they will rule over those that oppressed Klal Yisrael. If this is referring to what will happen in the final redemption, it's certainly easy to understand. If it's referring to the redemption from Bavel, so when we were brought up, it could be the explanation is, Bavel had been defeated. The Babylonian Empire was destroyed. Paras and Madai, the Persian Empire, was victorious. And Koresh, Cyrus, the emperor in Persia, issued a proclamation, any Jews who want should feel free to go up to Eretz Yisrael and build the second Beis HaMikdash. And he sent supplies, and he sent and he instructed that the nations should help out, should assist them with their building. And it could be among those that were sent to help out were the Babylonian slaves that were defeated. Persian Empire defeated Babylonia. They sent a bunch of people from Bavel to help out the effort. And now that Klal Yisrael came there, it could be they now enslaved Lavodim v'lishvachos, the previous Babylonians who were the victorious nation, were now there to serve the Jewish people. V'hayon el bi pasuk gimel v'yom haniach Hashem lecha. On the day when Hashem gives you rest, may otzbecha, from your distress. And the word etzev very often means depression. A person feels he's lacking something. Life is not the way he would like it to be. He feels what he doesn't have and he's sad about it. And Hashem will give you finally relief. May otzbucha, you won't be sad about what you don't have. Umirog zecha, and you won't be angry. Rogez is angry. You won't have in anger, there are things that come that infuriate you. So a person can have both types of emotions. He can be going through his life feeling all the things he doesn't have. You know, it's just... And then there are things that go wrong and people who mistreat him and aren't fair, and that provokes his rogez. But the emotional state of the Jewish nation will be such that Hashem will give you relief. They won't have me'otzbacha. They won't have their depression. They won't have the rogzecha, your anger. Things will be good. That's on their emotional state. Umin ha'avoda ha'kosha asher ubad boch. And you'll have relief from the hard labor which you have worked. Physically, Klal Yisrael has a difficult time in Golos. And finally, physically, Klal Yisrael will have relief. And at that point, v'nososa ha-moshal hazeh, you'll recite this parable, this moshal, al-melech bovel, about the king of bovel. V'omorta, and you'll say the following. Eich shovas noges, how could it be that the oppressor has finally come to an end? The oppressor here means Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to learn, we'll see in these psukim, Nebuchadnezzar, as a person, almost was looked at like a god. He had certain powers and certain abilities. And Sefer Daniel, it discusses how his greatness, he rode a lion and he had a snake, you know, wrapped around his head like for a crown. But he seemed to have an extraordinary supernatural powers. And we'll see the way the whole world, the Babylonian Empire, overran everything. And he controlled everything and even destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, which was standing for hundreds of years. And the whole world was aware of the miracles that were there. And Babel's the one that finally destroyed it. And people looked at Nebuchadnezzar as if he was a god, which we'll see more in the next psukim. But you'll say, Eich Shavas Noges, how could it be that the oppressor has come to an end? Shavsa Madheva, the Madheva has finally ended. The arrogance. Mephorshim say the word in Aramaic. The letter Zion in Hebrew is replaced with the letter Dalet in Aramaic. Meaning the word Zohov, gold, in Aramaic is Dahava. In fact, Zohar, which is a male, is Dachar in Aramaic. Zohar, it's switched for a Dalet. There are other words like that. The Dalet takes the place of the Zion. Madheva comes from the word Dahava. Dahava is gold. The Babylonian Empire was known as the Golden Empire. In fact, if you, in Daniel, it tells the story that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he saw a statue, and the head was gold, and then lower down was silver, and copper, and iron, and it referred to the different empires that would control the world. And as Daniel explained it, the gold, the head of gold, was referring to Babel. And that Madheva, that golden head, that golden empire, has all of a sudden ended. And it's going to be a wonder. Hey, how's that possible? Another explanation the Gemara says is Madheva is actually from a contraction of two Hebrew words. Midod is to measure, and Hav, to give. Hav is Aramaic, but Midod and Hovei, or Hovei is Hebrew. Midod and Hove, measure out and bring. Meaning they had taxes and there were their penalties and fees that had to be paid by all the countries under their control. Or as the Gemara said, Mad Heva could be from Ma'od Ma'od Hove. Like Mad is like Ma'od. The Aleph is very often left out. It's almost silent. Mad is Ma'od. Heva, bring a lot, bring a lot. Meaning Babel had both the quantity and the quality. They said, bring a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of wealth back to Babel. And not only was it Ma'od Havei, but it was Midod, measure them out. In those days, nowadays we don't have the gold standard, we don't even have the silver standard in America. We just accept the government's word that, you know, your dollar is worth the legal tender. We'll count it as being worth a dollar. But in those days, the coins were literally worth their weight in gold. If somebody gave you a gold or a silver coin, you would look at it to see if it was chipped, or if it was missing some of the metal, because if it was missing some of the metal, it's worth less. Just the coin had a form to it that you could tell. Or the guy would give you a slug, you don't know how much metal there is. If you look at the slug and you can see it's a perfectly formed coin with the official design, you know it's a complete slug with the full weight, and you know what it's worth. Babel insisted, Midod, you got to measure and be precise. The money you bring to us has to be the full quality, and there's got to be a lot of it. And now all of a sudden, Shavsa Madheva, this arrogance, has ended. And you wonder, how did that happen? And you know what you'll say? Shavar Hashem Matei Rishoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has broken the staff of the wicked. Shevet Moshlim, the rod of those of the rulers. Shevet refers to the fact that they're the rulers. Lo Yosser Shevet Miyehuda. Shevet means like the king who has a royal scepter, who has a sign of authority. And mate, the stick, is the simple punishment that they inflicted on the rest of the world. Shovar Hashem Matei Rishoyim, that staff of the wicked, that stick that Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians used against the world is now broken. Shevet Moshlim, and their monarchy, their rulership, the rod of the rulers, is no more. And you want to know what kind of a stick are we talking about? And it's clearly Hashkocha, it's Shovar Hashem. Everyone will realize such a thing would only be through Hashem. Hashem must have been the one to do it, because naturally we never could have imagined it happening. But Makeh Amin Be'evra, the stick of Nebuchadnezzar, would hit the peoples, Be'evra, with fury. And Evra is usually a fury, something... Af, anger, is when something is done to provoke you and you're angry. Evra's a fury is usually when the person just lashes out. You know, somebody, a certain person insulted him, and therefore he punishes the whole group. That's Evra. A fury where he just vents his frustration on everyone. Make Amin Be'evra. Nebuchadnezzar, Bovel, would strike the peoples Be'evra with a fury. Makas bilti sora, a blow that bilti sora that didn't turn to the side. They hit their target precisely. They hit exactly who they wanted to. It could also be makas, a blow bilti sora, even on peoples that didn't turn away from serving Bavel. There were nations that were subservient, and yet Bavel still punished them. They struck the Amim with a fury. Makas bilti sara, a blow even on those nations that didn't turn away from their service. Rodev o'af goyim. Nebuchadnezzar and Bovel would oppress the nations with wrath. Murdof b'li chosach. Either Murdof, they would pursue. These nations were pursued b'li chosach without any let up. It was unrelenting. Or it could be Murdof. Bovel pursued these nations, b'li chosach, even though these nations didn't hold back from serving Bovel. They were willing to be enslaved. They were willing to be vassal nations. They were b'li chosach. They didn't hold themselves back, and still they were pursued. And a third possibility is now this nation that's striking all the peoples, Murdof, now Bovel is going to be pursued, b'li chosach, without any let up, and Paras and Modai, the Persians, the Medians, will totally destroy Bovel. Nochash shokta kol haaretz. The entire land is at rest. Nochash, they can rest. Shokta, they're tranquil. Kol haaretz, the whole land. Potzchurina. They break out in song, everyone's singing, wow, who can believe it? We finally don't have to worry about Bovel. We're not going to be oppressed anymore by Nebuchadnezzar. And they break out in song. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Tes, Kuf Lamed Tes, the Gemara says, until that point there was no singing. That is going to be it's just as amazing as it is that Nebuchadnezzar and the world has finally been, their empire has ended, so too, right now has ended the period when there was no singing. Like imagine if somebody would tell you, I can imagine during the Holocaust or whatever, you know, you had those countries, there was no singing, no song, everything was black and gloom and suffering. And now, Nochash shokta kol haaretz, a similar situation. Finally, the land is at rest and tranquil. Potzchurina, they break out in song. Gamberoshim samchu lecha. Even the cypress trees rejoiced over you. Over you, meaning the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar. Arze levonon, the mighty cedars of Lebanon. The trees are happy. Because me'oz shachavta, from the time that you were laid low, and you're lying on the ground, lo yale hakore solenu, the wood chopper no longer comes to us. To run an army, they needed a lot of supplies. They cut a lot of wood. They destroyed forests in order to get their supplies for their armies. And finally, the war is over. The trees can have their rest. Even nature feels the benefits. But Chazal say the trees here refers to the mighty rulers. Beroshim, the cypress trees, is not as great as the Arzei Levono, not the cedars. The cedars are the kings, and the Beroshim, the cypress trees, are the rulers, the lesser officials. But all the other governments are finally able to feel a bit of independence, and they don't have to be afraid of who's looking over their shoulder. And therefore, Gamberoshim Samchulacha, Arzei Levonon, the cypress trees, the cedar trees, have a simcha. Meyoz Shochavta, from the time that you are laid low and you're on the ground, Lo Yala HaKore Solenu, figuratively, like the trees don't have to worry about the wood chopper, so these nations didn't have to worry about Bavel anymore, and they finally had a breather. Sheol mitachas, the grave, or Sheol can mean either Sheol means the grave, or Sheol means Gehenna. Mitachas, from below, meaning even below Gehenna, like the lowest of the chambers of Gehenna. Sheol mitachas, Gehenna from below, rogzalacha, trembled for you, likras bo'echa, to come and greet your arrival. The new spread, Nebuchadnezzar is dying, he's going to come and take his place in Gehenna. And there was all of a sudden a tremor, a fear, exactly, who's coming, what's he going to do, what's going to be? Orer l'cho refoim. The giants are awakened. Kol atudei oretz. All of the leaders of the world. Atudim is like the male goats, the he goats that go in front of the flock. But here it means the leaders. The giants and the leaders are all aroused. Hakim mikisosam. They stood up from their throne. Kol malchei goyim. All of the kings of the nations. It's like when Nebuchadnezzar is coming to Gehenna. So all those other kings in Gehenna get up from their throne to greet the leader of the crowd, the one who gets his the leader of the group of Rishoyim. But they're wondering, what exactly is Nebuchadnezzar going to do? They heard he's coming to Gehenna. What's going to be? And kulam yanu. But when they see that he comes, they'll all proclaim v'yomru elecha, and they'll say to you, gamata chuleisa kamonu. You've also been stricken like we were. You become like chole. You become sick and weak and decrepit. Chuleisa kamonu. You used to be a robust, strong person. And now after death, obviously, he's got no power. He's chuleisa kamonu. You're weak like us. Eilenu nimsholta. You're comparable to us. We were wondering exactly, we heard you're coming to Gehenna, what's going to be? And we see Yerg, he's going to burn in Gehenna like the rest of them. And he's just a mortal like everyone else. But the Navi portrays exactly how there was this fear that he was so great. By the way, the Ibn Ezra mentions, Hakim mikisosam, they got up from their thrones. So, simply means figuratively, as if, you know, they all those leaders are getting up to welcome Nebuchadnezzar. But Ibn Ezra says it could be that the practice of the Bavliim, the people in Bavel, was to place thrones in their royal graves. As they buried the empire, the emperors could be on their royal throne. So since they're placed into the ground on the throne, the Pusik, the Novi, describes it as if they're sitting on their throne down there in Gehenna, and they stand up to greet Nebuchadnezzar. Hurad Sheol, you're brought down to the Sheol, to Gehenna, Geonecha, all of your greatness, your pride. Our Gaon, pride, is when a person feels haughty, he feels so great and so exalted and so much better than everyone else. And here it's like falling from the top of a skyscraper to the bottom of the ocean. But Geonecha, your pride and your greatness, not just comes down to earth, but it goes down, down, down to the bottom of Gehenna. Horad Sheol Geonecha, your pride was lowered down to the Sheol. Hemyas Nivolecha, all of the tumult, the noise from Nevalecha, all those stringed instruments. You were the type that wherever Nebuchadnezzar went, there was always the concert and always the partying and always the musical instruments. And now all of a sudden it's quiet. Some of Forshim also note the fact that Nivalecha, which is, Nivalecha comes from the word like Benevel Osar Azamralo. Nevel is a stringed instrument. Nevel Osar is if you have 10 strings to it. But it's a stringed instrument. But the word Nevel can also be understood Nivalecha, that the words of Nivola, the profanities, the words of blasphemy, the way he spoke out against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is discussed in Daniel, exactly how Nebuchadnezzar spoke and how he lost the throne and he was punished. But all of a sudden, the hemyas nivalecha, the tumult of your nivel peh, that terrible speech that Nebuchadnezzar used, has now been quieted. Tachtecha yutsa rima, maggots are spread out under you, umechasecha toleya, and he's covered. Worms cover him. That it's as great a person on this world as Nebuchadnezzar seemed to be, and as mighty of a person, he met the end of all people. And he's in the grave, and he's burning in Gehenna, and his body is going through the same Rima in Toleya. Eich nafaltu mishamayim. How have you fallen from Shemayim, Halel ben Shachar, that glowing morning star, Nigdata la'aretz, cut down to the ground, Chole shal goyim, the one who conquered all the nations. Halel ben Shachar either means the star that Nebuchadnezzar is compared to, this glowing morning star, the brilliant light in the sky, and when at the first beginning of the day, when you see the morning star before the sun, and Nebuchadnezzar is that glorious, bright star. And now it's fallen to the earth. And it could also be, Rashi brings down the Pshat, that every nation has their malach in Shemayim, their, let's say, guardian angel, but they have their malach, every nation has their malach in Shemayim. And Bavel's star fell down, meaning first HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided in Shemayim that the angel of Bavel should be lowered. And then the effect is felt down here on this earth. The Ramban says a similar thing in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov Avinu was sleeping and he saw a ladder and he saw the Malachim going up and down and up and down, and Hashem was above the ladder. And the Ramban explains, brings down a medrash, that the angels going up and down the ladder are the nations, that the angels of the different empires and nations. There were some angels that went up a few rungs on the ladder and then went down. Some went higher up and then came down. And the medrash says the Edom, Esav, seemed to go up, 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 and it didn't seem to come down at all. Referring to our long gullus. But eventually, the Malachim Kenko, they'll have their downfall, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the while all the angels are going up and down, and the different empires come and go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's over that ladder, watching over Yaakov, watching over Klal Yisrael. So, Eich Mafalto Mishamayim, how did you fall from Shemayim, Halel ben Shachar, this glowing morning star, this brilliant star, Nebuchadnezzar? Nigdata la'aretz, you're chopped down to the earth. Chole shal goyim, the one who conquered the nations. The Gemara understands cholesh is a way of casting lots. Like you throw a dice or you throw down a card, and based on that you decide what you're going to do. Normally a king would plan a military strategy, which nation it's best for him to attack first, which one he should attack later. Nebuchadnezzar was such a powerful ruler, he would just like cast lots. He'd wake up one day and say, you know, today maybe it should be France. Oh, you know what, you know, throw the dice, you know, instead let's go ahead and attack Russia. You know, it was all the nations were the same to him. He was Chole Shal HaGoyim. He cast lots to decide which nation he would attack which one he would attack first. Or it could be he was Choli Shalagoyim, he had all of the rulers of the world under his control. He would decide who should serve him. Every day, well, let the ruler of this nation show his subservience to me today. Let the ruler of another one show how powerless he is against me. The Gemara, in fact, discusses how he did that with immoral goals and purposes, but he showed that he had control over all the nations of the world. V'ata amarta, and you said, bilvavcha, in your heart, hashamayim ele. You said you were going to ascend to the heavens. Mimal chokh ve'el arin kisi. Higher than the highest stars, or chokh ve'kel, the stars of Hashem, higher than the highest stars, arin kisi. I'll raise my throne. Ve'eshev bahar moed. And you said that you would sit Bahar Moed on the mountain of meeting, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets us down here, meaning in the Har Habayis. Bahar Moed, the mountain where Hashem meets with people. B'Yarkas Eitz Tzofon, on the north side of the Beis HaMikdash. You said you would be able to put your throne above the stars. You would be able to place your throne right in Yerushalayim, right by the Beis HaMikdash on the north side. You'd be the greatest. El al b'maseyov. I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. Edam el elyon. And I'll make myself comparable. Le elyon, to the one who is most high. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You felt that you were like a god yourself. And now, you've had your downfall. Achel sheol turod. But you, Nebuchadnezzar, will be lowered down to the sheol, to Gehenim. El Yarkasei Bor, to the bottom of the pit. We'll stop here. Mir Tashem, next week we'll look at it. Good night. Good night. Okay.